Coast to coast on the World Wide Web, this is Trot Radio on standardbredcanada.ca. Norm Borg with you. My guest in this segment is the president, Woodbine Entertainment Group. Nick Eaves and I are going to engage in a fairly lively discussion about some of the issues facing the WEG Group and the industry in general, not the least of which is the fact that harness racing handle at WEG is down while the T-bred handle is up. Will that mean fewer racing dates? And what about the touchy topic of take-up? That and a whole lot more on this edition of Trot Radio. Nick Eaves, the new president of Woodbine Entertainment Group on the other end of our line. Nick, thanks for being on Trot Radio.
My pleasure, Norm.
Harness handle in 09 was down. T-bred handle is up. I guess the question is why?
Well, that's a good question. Certainly when I look at why handle on WEG thoroughbred product is up, there are a handful of reasons. Certainly we've been carting good full quality, full high quality fields. Field size is up at least, or was in 09 anyway, up a full horse over 08. So that's something that typically is rewarded by customers. We've been able to get distribution of that product into new markets, TVG being the largest, but we've been able to get that product in front of new people, and the combination of those full fields, the reputation that Woodbine Thoroughbred product has been earning over the last few years is being rewarded.
Why do you think is the harness handle at Woodbine down?
The product hasn't changed. We talk to customers all the time who express concern in terms of it's the same old thing night after night. There's a lot of it. I've spoken often about the need to balance supply and demand, and I feel very, very strongly about that. And at the moment, there isn't the demonstrated demand for the amount of product that we're putting out there.
Well, there must be a reason for it, and the clients, as you've indicated, are giving you reasons. What are the same old things? Is it the fact that everybody lines up before the eighth pole, and it's just like watching an Olympic cycling event?
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean, we've heard that as one of the reasons, certainly. As you know, we've looked at ways to try and change that. We did an experiment 2 weeks in a row in terms of moving the start-finish line to try and improve upon the flow of those races, and certainly the feedback from drivers and some customers and our own racing department was that was achieved. So we're looking at ways to try and get around that. The predictability and so on.
It's creating more flow, basically.
It is. Well, certainly that experiment showed that it creates more flow. So that's not the ultimate answer. But I think there are things like that can help. But we need to be more dramatic than that. There needs to be, as I say, an amount of racing that lines up with the reality of customer demand today, and we need to find new ways to distribute that racing. We need to develop new bet types such that both existing and perhaps even more preferably new customers find something of interest.
Okay. I want to talk about the point you've been making for quite some time, and that is to address the imbalance in race dates between standardbred and thoroughbred. You have been quoted in the past as saying that has to be addressed. I got to tell you, Nick, there is more than one horseman who's a little bit nervous when they hear that kind of dialogue, because they're thinking, oh boy, they're going to cut back on the standardbred dates. Do you really think standardbred racing is going to be around in 5 years? I mean, the whole thing is terribly frightening.
Well, yeah, I think standardbred racing is going to be around in 5 years, certainly in this market, but not necessarily if we just keep doing it the same old way. I mean, I understand that people would be concerned at the notion of having fewer opportunities to race their horse. But if we just keep focusing on it from the standpoint of we have to provide the opportunities for a participant to race their horse and not think for a minute about what it is customers are showing they're prepared to support, then we're going to keep going down that road of a supply-dominated proposition which isn't being rewarded by customers, on which less and less is being bet. At some point, there's nothing left. So we're not prepared to come to that. We need to structure a solution which has a significant amount of racing, because there's support for that in the Woodbine Mohawk market anyway, but one that starts with a bit more of a connection to what it is customers are prepared to support, and allows us to build to hopefully more and more racing opportunities. But we need to, again, we need to start with the current levels of demand.
Would you consider increasing the thoroughbred dates and cutting back on the standardbred?
They're not directly related. I mean, one of the reasons, frankly, I believe that the thoroughbred product has shown some growth is there is a good balance between supply and demand. I mean, we race 167 thoroughbred days, and I'm not for a second saying that that's the right number for standardbred, but certainly when you look at pool size that we're able to generate across those days, we're able to, for the most part, generate significant pool size that brings new customers into those pools, that has them continue to bet them, and therefore show some upward movement. There aren't any indicators to say that there need to be additional days, but there isn't a correlation between the number of thoroughbred days that we're racing and the number of standardbred. The correlation is, what is a customer prepared to support and how much pool size can we generate?
In April 2009, in an edition of the Globe and Mail, and it was back at a time when the first quarter of the year saw an increase in harness racing handle at Woodbine, you were quoted as saying that additional race dates were part of the reason. If that's the case, isn't there a bit of dichotomy in saying, well, maybe we have to scale back on our harness dates to some degree?
No, I think we have to look at it on balance. I mean, we're one of the very few Canadian racing organizations that's still really in the parimutuel pools business. However, we can't build a business on a pool size that ultimately is going to be in decline. So certainly we show during our four-day-a-week schedule that we can generate, for the most part, sufficient pool size in excess of $1 million a pool. And the reference was probably to that January-February period in 2009, where we were able to do a similar thing. But we certainly, if you look at the balance of a 52-week racing season, there are far too many times when, with our fifth day of racing, we're not able to generate sufficient pool size, and it's a slippery slope. I mean, we see it move in a downward direction rather than an upward direction. So I think you have to look at it on across a full year calendar rather than in 2 month periods or quarter by quarter.
Why not run the standardbreds all year at Mohawk? It's a much more fan-friendly track. Woodbine is better suited, obviously, for thoroughbreds. It was built to be a thoroughbred track. You seem to get bigger crowds at Mohawk, and I understand part of that is because the marquee events are going on in the summer, but would that be an option? And then you could, perhaps run some lower-level thoroughbreds over the dead of the winter like they do, say, at Aqueduct.
Well, I'm not sure there's any demand for thoroughbred racing through the winter, never mind lower level thoroughbred racing. But I think we need to continue to balance our standardbred calendar over the two markets in which we operate. Certainly, Mohawk is a fantastic summer venue, and I think since we made the move from the two shoulder season meets to the single summer meet, I think that's had great results. That facility works much, much better through the summer, and I think we need to continue to focus the balance based on summer racing at Mohawk and fill out the winter dates at Woodbine.
Basically, we don't know for certain if there's going to be a cutback in dates. Is that a possibility? Should we get ready for this in order to meet customer demand?
I think there has to be, in the short term, there needs to be less racing. Whether or not that's going to be the eventuality, I think time will tell. But in Woodbine's case, it's all with a view. We'd much rather be racing, full. We'd love to be able to go 5 days a week, 52 weeks a year. However, there needs to be a horse supply to support it, and there needs to be customer demand in order to continue to justify it. It's not there today, so we need to respond to what the demand indicators are today, and we need to work towards building back to a level of racing that frankly we would much rather be in.
One of the things that T-bred players, and I realize you're not always going to get a T-bred player cross over to the standardbred side, but I'm speaking with my handicapper's hat on. You know, any chance we might see stats like, for example, like in the thoroughbreds, driver-trainer percentages, trainers percentages with first-time starters, starters off the claim. You can get that in the daily racing form on the T-bred side. You can get it on our side by looking it up on Trackit, but it's a very laborious process. Right. Any chance of that coming down the line?
Yeah, I haven't heard that suggestion, but certainly we need to be looking at any number of ways to get the relevant information into the hands and the minds of customers, because obviously, as you know, that's the starting point in terms of the parimutuel wager. So if that's part of it, and it could well be, I think that's a good suggestion.
Well, thank you very much. Race night is being changed to bet night. What can we expect? How do you feel about the move, which basically caters to the horse player? Personally speaking, I think we may as well be what we are.
We've not been able to grow viewership. In fact, viewership is declining. There isn't a strong correlation to handle on those nights, and we need for there to be. As I said, that's obviously the business that we're in. So what we're going to do is take those shows and have more of an emphasis on the betting product, certainly still show the really relevant parts of the, you know, not just the race, but the pre and post-race, but use some of that time to really communicate the betting product in a way that can attract, we hope, a new customer, because we need to achieve that based on the investment that's going into those programs.
If I don't ask you this, the emails on the end of this story will be burning up with the fact that we didn't talk about takeout. Tioga Downs is saying that they're going to reduce their takeout. You made mention in a recent article in Bloodhorse that, you know, racing can't afford to wait for change. Price is the ultimate determinant of a customer's ability to pay. Can we translate that means lower takeout perhaps in the future?
Well, I mean, we would love to be reducing our takeout. My view is the best way to do that is to deal with the HIP levy that sits on top of every pari-mutuel wager. Certainly, we've been advocating for some time. I mean, the HIP program is obviously critically important. It's been very successful, both breeds. The funding needs to continue to be there. Our view is that program is better funded out of the slot share of purses for two reasons. Firstly, I think we can all say that it's probably a little bit more predictable. As importantly, what it does is distributes the cost of the HIP program more evenly. I mean, at the moment, based on Woodbine being, you know, the dominant pari-mutuel participant, we are funding HIP in a way that's disproportionate to the benefits. But I think I think funding HIP differently out of slot purses would be a good move, because the biggest beneficiary, in addition to a stable HIP program, the biggest beneficiary is the bettor. If we can eliminate what is essentially a tax, but the 2% or the 4% levy on tri takeouts and the 2% levy on everything else, we can get that money back in the hands of customers. And while churn isn't what it used to be back when there were back pre-simulcasting, there's certainly still a significant element of churn. And again, as importantly, it would then put our sort of gross takeout numbers in a much better position against some of our key competitors. And I think that will move some wagering from those products back to live Ontario race. So that's the best way to get to lower takeout.
A lot of challenges in the future. Nick Eaves, I know you'll be up to them, and we look forward to seeing what's down the pike for the WEG circuit. Thank you for being on Trot Radio.
Thank you, Norm.